Now, what's going on is we're going through the book of Revelation. That means that John, remember, he was caught up in the Spirit. He was in the presence of the Lord, and he saw Jesus. So he was another one who saw the resurrected Christ. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, you know, life is more than looking at yourself in the mirror and living each day out, right? You know, like they say, get a life. I'm so excited today because this only happens once a year, right? People talk about Christmas, talking about the babe, right? And then he came for a reason for this season. And now already it's April 5th. Make sure you get your, did you get your chocolate bunny today? Did you get your Easter eggs and everything? So, there. Guy and I were talking the other about Easter eggs and bunnies and all, and he said, you know what, I had to go home, get out of my Sunday suit, and I had to go ahead and get my plague clothes on before I could eat my chocolate bunny. The good old days, right? Well, they still are. It depends on how you look at it, right? Don't ever get old, as my dad said. Never get old. Keep your heart young, and you'll be fine. You'll be okay. You know, and I'm going to take that to the grave with me. You know what? Because even that grave don't have a hold on me. I have the resurrection power. I have Christ. You know, I want to live a resurrected life. So, getting into the book of Revelation. And yes, we are going to get into about the resurrection as well. And in the book of Revelation, we see that John is seeing this here, that the tribulation saints, they are there, and they are worshiping God. Remember that we looked at the, we are in the process of looking at the sixth seal, and then we looked at the 144,000, those who are going to go witness, which are Israelites. And then, of course, we see now that verse 9, we see the location, verses 9 and 10 actually. And after these things, I looked up, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne. It's just like a picture. Have you ever been out on the beach before and you put your feet out there, you take the flip-flops off, and by the way, it's not too far away, right? You go out there and walk in the sand without burning your feet. All those grains of sand, you know, that you can't number them. And that's the idea here, is you just like the stars. You can't number them all. Anyway, so there's going to be many, many saints out there, both tribulation saints, both Gentile and Jewish as well, but the majority of them are going to be Jewish, okay? Because remember, we're living in the church age, and once that is over with, then the tribulation starts, and then, of course, God's going to turn his love to the Jewish people. Gentiles will still get saved, though. And then it says here, before the Lamb, standing before the Lamb, and that's Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, clothed with white robes with palm branches in your hand. We looked at that last week. That means victory and triumph. But we were looked at that last week. They were looking for the king in the wrong way. Today we serve a risen king, Jesus Christ, and we know what he has done, conquered death, hell, and the grave. So with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, to the Lamb. Thank God we can cry out that today. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. We can, wherever we go, sit in our cars, go out in the streets, talk to people, Jesus Christ is Lord. That means, the word Lord means the boss, the highest explained way of putting it. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lord over everything. So all the angels stood around the throne and the elders, and we looked at that already. That's the church. And the four living creatures, they are the seraphim that's around the throne of God, that worships God day and night. And I pray today, too, that we can worship him day and night. Be thinking of him. Don't let this world crowd you out. There's too much religion out there. There's too many worldly things. Satan is working overtime because he knows his time is short. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And fell upon their faces before the throne and worshiped God. And, you know, that should be in our hearts every day. We should be worshiping God on our faces. Amen. Sevenfold proclamation. It says here, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. I remember there was a Christian artist named Carmen. He used to come out back in the early 90s. I remember taking my youth group. I had about 30 kids, took them on out. And we'd go to these concerts, and his name was Carmen, Carmen Ministries. Well, he put out a lot of songs there, and there was a song that, and I don't have time to get into it, that he used this verse in there. It was just great for the kids to listen to. People got saved. But yet, God is in the business here of blessing. Unfortunately, with his ministry, one of his own band members turned on him and tried to sue him. And the ministry, he still has a ministry there, but that's how the devil works. That's how he works. You're trying to proclaim the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in your life. Satan wants to do everything to get in there and destroy you. So be careful. Watch and pray, like Jesus says. Watch and pray. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Which means truly. So moving on here to verse 13. Then one of the elders answered and said to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? So that's one of the church members asked this. Okay? And remember, the elders are symbolic of the church. We went into that earlier. And I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these things are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, thank God for that. We are cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. Now remember, you know, God hasn't done away with Israel yet. Romans chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, it says, I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I am an Israelite, pardon me, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away the people whom he foreknew. So, Romans 11, 25 and 26 says, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this ministry, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that the blindness in the part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. And so all Israel will be saved. He's talking about at the time when God turns his grace to Israel during the tribulation period. So we should be praying for Israel that they would turn to the true Messiah. There's a lot going on in the news today. And, you know, just saying to yourself, Lord, this is happening. We're so very, very close to the end as we know it. We're getting closer and closer. We can almost taste it. We can almost feel it in God's prophecy and God's word. Jesus is coming back. The rapture is going to happen soon. Okay? So, but no man knows when Jesus is coming back. But, you know. So it says here, therefore they are before the throne of God. They serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell amongst them. Verse 16, they shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them. I love what John 1:29 says this. It says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You know, Jesus came. He was 100% man, and he was 100% God. And remember, he did resurrect people like Lazarus. Remember that in John chapter 11? He did resurrect other people there from the dead. And yet many people just didn't get it because they were looking for food and circuses. They were, in other words, they're looking for the pleasures of this life. One of the Caesars said, you know what, just give them the food and the circuses and we control them. Today the government's doing the same thing. They're giving people, the world is giving them plenty of food and then what? Entertainment. It's all over the place. You can go down to the store down there and get whatever you want. They say in 3 days, if something bad was to happen, I don't want you to go to Paranoid Palace here, but they say in 3 days that the grocery stores were running out of food. If there was, we were without food. Okay, because the trains bring it, right? You got to have the trains. They work better than the truckers, but we need the truckers too. But God knows all about that. He's in control. And so we know too that our Lamb of God here is the Paschal Lamb. And we think about the Lord's Supper. We're going to have that today as well. The Jews have a Paschal Lamb. That means it's a perfect lamb. And they go home and they fix their lamb. And boy, lamb is good this time of year if you know how to cook it, you know. And there are a lot of good cooks out here today, you know. But they take that very seriously during the Passover. 1 Peter 1:18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from the futile way of life inherited from your fathers, but through the precious blood of the Lamb, the unblemished, spotless blood of the Lamb. So these tribulation saints are around God's throne. They're thanking him and praising him for their salvation. You know, like what Isaiah 40:11 says, in his arm he will gather the lambs and carry them close to his heart. God knows us today. We are his lambs. He is the great shepherd, as we will see here in a minute. Okay. It says here, verse 17, for the lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them. So he is the Lamb of God, number one. Number two, we are his lambs. He is the shepherd. Okay? So I hope we have that picture. And Isaiah 40:11 says, in his arms he will gather the lambs and carry them close to his heart. I hope today we have a close heart with our Savior, that we can be like John, who laid upon Jesus' chest and could actually hear the heartbeat of Jesus. This same John wrote the book of Revelation. The same John wrote the Gospel of John, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. So he loved the Lord. And this same John was not beheaded or hurt or, you know, he was not persecuted like the other 11 apostles. And it says here, the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will the shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. You know, think about that song, drinking at the streams of living water. Happy now am I, my soul they shall satisfy, drinking at the springs of living water. It says here in John 7:37-38, that one on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as Scripture said, out of the heart will flow rivers of living water. There is nothing more refreshing than having a cold drink out of a spring, or just a hot, thirsty day. And you know, it's going to happen very quick here in our part of Wisconsin. It's cold out right now, right? Don't kid yourself. In a couple weeks, the temperatures may shoot right up. It start raining like crazy. And all of a sudden, oh my goodness, I got to go out and cut the grass now. Didn't we just have temperatures in the 30s this morning? It was cold. They were even calling for snow flurries. One elderly saint said, huh, you ain't seen nothing yet around here. We've had snow in May. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I can deal with that. Thanks for the heads up. And I like what it says here in verse 7, at the end of 17, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Have you had a lot of sorrow? Have you had a lot of pain this week? Have you been going through a lot of trials? And you're crying out to God, please help me. God knows your trials. God knows your tribulations. God knows your suffering, dear saints. He knows everything about you. And, you know, even when you feel like the devil's got you like this and you're doing everything you can faithfully and you're fighting and you're fighting and slowly you're starting to sink because you're just so tired. You're worn out. You're exhausted. God can still lift you up. Let me encourage you today. Let me encourage you that there is a resurrection. There is a Jesus. He's coming back. And thank God you're here this morning because I want to encourage you. Okay? There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But yet we have to tell the people out there about Jesus Christ. It's so very, very important. So, why has all this happened here? How could have this happened? How can we even look at our faith today and say, well, is this Bible real? Really? You know, we read out of the Revelation 7, 9 through 17, and we see the tribulation saints, and there was a time in my life where I used to go to church and just be the great pretender. I'd pretend all day long because I didn't know Jesus. I went because my mom told me to go. But I did look forward to the Easter bunny and the eggs and all the goodies that they have. You know, that was one thing to look forward to. And the big, pretty church, it was so gaudy. And Christ still hung on the cross. You know, all right, so what if he did? But I had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I realized who he was. One day, I accepted Christ and he came into my heart by faith. I heard the gospel preached like I never heard before. Now I understand then, over 45 years ago, what I know today. And it's such a wonderful experience to grow. You know, I'm hoping that we water our plants every when we need to, right? Because God waters us. We need that. We need, you know, like plants, they need plant food. But let me tell you about this here. We have an illustration here. All right, remember what we had last week here on the cross? Probably we all forgot by now because I have old timers too. I forget. But there was a purple sash that was on here last week. It was royalty. And how the King of Kings came and he died willingly as what? As a servant. And he wants us to be Christ-like, Christ wants to serve like he did. Okay? I can never sometimes get there because I'm too full of myself. I need, Lord, please help me. Please, you know, claim Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is which is good and perfect. On and on. I didn't get it right. See, that's me. But God knows that in his perfect word, I am trying. The white sash here is for purity. Let me get over here. It's for purity. Okay? Christ died as a sinless lamb. He was royalty too because he was God. He was the only one that was made that perfect sacrifice for us. As we'll look in the Lord's Supper here today. Look at the crown. The crown changed too. Last week it was just a barren crown, a crown of thorns. You know, one day when Christ comes back, he will come back with many crowns. And then also one day we will have crowns too. It's like a different, like they say, people live in their own world, right? This is going to be a different world, folks. This is going to be totally different. And so, and people out there today, oh, I'm living by what I see, but not by faith, not by sight. You know, Hebrews 11, 1 says, you know, we live by faith and not by sight. So On this crown are the roses of Sharon. This is symbolic of life that comes from nothing, like a crown, okay? The roses of Sharon and the thorns that they comes protrudes out of that. And there's life that comes from like a seed. Remember, we're like a seed that's gone, when we die, it germinates. And out comes a beautiful plant, right? And some, you know, right now we're kind of dormant because God's working in us. He's working in us for that resurrection. We're going to have a new body. There's a whole list of things. So the crown is basically, is that. And then, of course, there's the lily flowers. They're a symbol of purity, the rebirth, resurrection, the abundance of God. Lilies are so pretty. It's too bad we have to get rid of them in a couple of weeks. But, you know, I told the lady, I said, can't we keep them here for a while? You know, like, come on. Come on, Mom. I feel like a little kid. Come on, Mom. Please, please. It's like, no. But enjoy them while you can. They're so beautiful. And take time today, whenever you can, the flowers start to bloom. Stop by and smell the roses like this. Stop by and think about spiritually what Christ has done for you. So we have that. We went over the other symbolic gestures here from last week. So 1 Corinthians 15, I wanted to share with you, says here in verses 12 through 19, the doubts of the resurrection. We'll look at the reality of the resurrection. Because then again, without the resurrection, this whole book would be meaningless. It wouldn't mean anything, you know. You could say we love this God, but even pagans loved their gods too. But they had nothing. In verses 12 and 13, it says, now if Christ is preached that he was risen from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Do you realize that 1 Corinthians was written just 25 years after Christ's resurrection? How easily people forget. It's so easy to forget, you know? And I pray, too, we pray for our children, and we pray for our friends and our family, that people would get saved. But people are so forgetful. The Greeks believed that the body was the tomb, and also in Corinth, and remember Mars Hill in Acts, when Paul preached, they thought he was crazy because Paul preached about the resurrection. And Paul in Acts, he also, with the Romans, Festus thought Paul was out of his mind preaching about the resurrection. People today live for now. Most people live from paycheck to paycheck. They live for the things that they have bought, things that they have worked hard for. And that's all they're focused on. The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. They had the sin of unbelief. Today, people, what damns people more to hell today, more than anything else, is the sin of unbelief. Today, we believe. Okay? There's a big difference. The pagans left their tombs left partially open. They believed that through this, that their souls would escape and somehow they would live another life somewhere. It was very hopeless because they just did not understand what this all meant. One man said in the catacombs, there is the catacombs down in Rome, there's over 600 miles of catacombs. The saddest part is etched on the walls. You'd have Christians and pagans down there during the Roman rule because to be a Christian, they want to escape from persecution. You want to live your life. It's normal for people who want to live, right? But they'd be down these catacombs, and before they became graves, there were getaways. And one person wrote here, live for the present hour, and since we're sure of nothing else, you know, These are what people wrote on the walls in these places. I will lift up my hands against the gods who took me away at the age of 20, though I had done them no harm. You know, what? They don't realize that they're actually worshiping a demon or some god. They have no idea who it is. Once I was, now I'm not. I know nothing about it, and it's no concern of mine. In other words, live for today, tomorrow, no resurrection. And then there was another one, traveler, curse me, not as you pass, for I am in darkness and cannot answer. It's a very sad place to be in somebody's life. Somebody else said that Jesus, when he was on the cross, he must have died, but he didn't really resurrect. He said, another skeptic, like it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 in the end times, scoffers, people will make fun of it. There are people there, if you get down and deep and straight with them, they will tell you there is no resurrection. I don't believe it. You know, when's Jesus coming back? I don't see him. You know, and you just think, well, that's kind of rude. But you know, if you got to share your faith, you got to be faithful. He said that Jesus fainted from exhaustion and he was given a drug that made him appear to die. And later he revived, and as he laid in a dark, damp, cold tomb, Jesus miraculously resurrected. It was just caused by resuscitation. Try to get it out. Resuscitate someone. Okay? And of course, that's blasphemy as well. But what do you expect from the unsaved? Just be faithful and witness to them. You did your part. Walk away. Another person said Jesus bribed Pilate to take him down off the cross before he died. You know, and the list goes on. Science says he may live again. Okay? Philosophy says he hopes to live again. Ethics say he ought to live again. Atheism says he will never live again. Jesus says that he shall live again. So, verses 15 through 19 says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ from the dead and did not rise up. And in fact, the dead did not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Verse 19, and in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men the most pitiful. If there was no resurrection, Christ would still be in the grave. And he is the only one who we know in life, if we're for real, is the only one that has resurrected. Christ will be a liar. His disciples were deceived. Their preaching was vain. Our faith is vain. We are focused on false witnesses. The Christian church is a farce. Christians' experience is purely imaginational. We are still in our sins. We perish like animals. We are of all men most miserable. I would, you know, have to say personally, I look forward to going to heaven. I personally want to be with my dog, Romeo. I do. I'm sorry. There are animals that we love, and I'm sorry, but I think God loves us, and he will give us blessings. And you know, I will tell him, I'm very disappointed. I'm going to miss my dog. I want my dog back there. just so much for that. But continue on here in verse 20, we see the reality, the revelation of the resurrection. It says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So Christ is the first fruits. And then, of course, from there, when he rose again, right, he took the Old Testament saints with him. And the next resurrection is what? The rapture. That's going to happen. Those who are dead in Christ will rise first. Those who are with him will remain in the church age. And then, of course, we have the two witnesses. It could be Elijah and Moses. I'm not going to get into that, but that's my personal opinion. That's found in Revelation. And, of course, we have the tribulation saints. They will be what? According to Revelation chapter 20, they'll be risen with what? Their bodies will be risen up, right? Because we're looking at this in Revelation chapter 7. These are the spirits of the Revelation saints in the tribulation. And last resurrection, I hope that God, nobody has to be here. And I'm sure online, I don't think anybody here is going to face the great white throne judgment, the last resurrection. If your book's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you know what? There's a place called hell, the second death. And so I preach hell because it's for real. And, you know, people who deny that, I'm like, okay, you live in a different world than I do. Proof of the resurrection, reality of resurrection. Historically, they would have never used women. Remember, there was both Mary Magdalene. She experienced, she saw Christ first in the garden. Remember that? And she went back and she told the disciples in the upper room. Who were the first ones to run down to the tomb who had unbelief? It was John and Peter. John outran Peter and went and looked in the tomb. There was nothing there. He was gone. And then others would say it was made up. No, because most people would have quoted the Gospels. It was man written, not inspired by the Word of God. While it was under the Holy Spirit written while they were writing. I would have been almost word for word. Liars do that because they don't want their deception. Appearances, Jesus appeared for 40 days, 17 times Christ appears. And then why would people also die for a hoax? And then there's also an empty tomb. You would have had to get past 10 to 30 guards as well as that was an automatic death sentence because you had the seal of Pontius Pilate of Rome, and they go further than that from Caesar. Would have taken 20 men to roll back the stones. Plus, and remember at the cross, none of the disciples were there except for John. And remember, none of Jesus' family members were there at the cross. Remember that? Jesus says, look at your mother, John. He was talking about not Jesus. He said, look at John. Behold thy son. And thy son, behold thy mother. He was talking about take care of Mary, John. So they're the only two there. One disciple, one family member. Isn't that interesting? You know, I don't expect many people to be at my funeral either. Because I'm gone, right? You don't have to worry about me. I've donated my parts to science anyway. I won't be here. This body will be gone. It's all about Jesus. Be concerned about the spiritual. Also, the great clothes that were left behind. I know the Catholics hate this, and Episcopals and some other people. Leaving that shroud of turn, there were two pieces, people. One head and one for the body. It's not the shroud of turn, it's this one piece. They're worshiping that like it's an idol. Oh, another. Well, you know what? I'd rather stick with the Bible. Thank you. And so, even to this day, the Jewish rabbis believe the body was stolen. So there you go. History in a nutshell about the resurrection.